Hello, everyone. Welcome to the 200th anniversary of Robert Morrison's arrival in China, Historical Pictures Exhibition Tour. My name is Lin Jiping, General Director of Cosmic Light Holistic Care Organization. Robert Morrison is the first Christian Protestant missionary to enter into China. He went to China in 1807. His legacy is immense. During the past 200 years, Morrison's work has influenced the whole China. This exhibition consists materials and pictures that show the difficulties Christianity faced when it entered into China, and how it broke through to make an impact on China's history, culture, society, and etc. In order that you may get the best out of the exhibition, we invited the Deputy Secretary of Morrison Memorial Society, Mr. Wei Y. Young, to be your guide. Please enjoy. God bless you. Dear visitors, let us spend some time to walk through Chinese church history and to count God's blessings. The content of these historical pictures can be divided into three parts. Picture 6, first part. Robert Morrison, the forerunner of China missionary work. Picture 7. Morrison was born in 1782 and died in 1834 at the age of 52. He was buried in Macau. Picture 9. The background of when Morrison came to China, simply put, was when the modernizing Britain met the reserved and closed China. Picture 11. Modernization was a movement that focused on human rights and democracy. Picture 12. Modernization also confirmed man's individual value, and that man and God can establish direct relationship. This idea could also be traced back to Martin Luther. Picture 14. The development of maritime industry paved the way for global mission. Picture 16. The East Indian Company of Britain sought only profit and did not support missionary work. Picture 18. Earlier on, Catholic Jesuit missionaries kept knocking at China's door but were not successful. S. Franciscus Xaverius used to cry towards China, "Rock, rock, when will you open?" Picture 21. In fact, the gospel had entered into China a couple of times. It was called the Luminous Religion during the Tang Dynasty. The Stele of the Luminous Religion recorded that this religion spread to all China during the Tang Dynasty. Picture 23. The second time when the gospel entered China was during Yuan Dynasty. Picture 24. The third time when the gospel entered China was between Ming and Qing Dynasty, when many missionaries went to China. Picture 27. The fourth time that the gospel entered China started from Morrison's arrival in China. At that time, China was a closed country, with Guangzhou being the only trading port. Picture 29. Macau at the time was controlled by Catholic Church and did not welcome Protestant missionaries. Picture 30. This picture is titled Great Work in the Warehouse. When Morrison first arrived in China, he lived in the warehouse owned by American firms and did missionary work from there. Picture 31. 13 firms is a term used to describe all the foreign companies in Guangzhou at the time. It doesn't mean that there were only 13 of them in number. Picture 32. Morrison produced first Chinese translation of the Bible called the Holy Book. It was translated from the original Hebrew and Greek to Chinese instead of from English. Picture 33. The Chinese-English dictionary which Morrison produced is more like a Chinese-English bilingual cyclopedia because its content is very rich, consisting of Chinese history, culture, custom, and condition of the people at the time. Picture 34. Morrison sent approximately 10,000 Chinese books he purchased in China back to Britain. These books are now kept in London University. At the time, Cambridge and Oxford showed no interest in those books, which they later regretted. Picture 35. Morrison also published other books and booklets, among which Chinese Monthly Magazine was considered the first private-owned modern Chinese magazine. Just like Apostle Paul, who quoted a local poem when evangelizing in Athens, Morrison used a quote from Confucius on the cover of Chinese Monthly Magazine. The master said, "I listen widely, select the good, and follow their ways." Picture 36. Morrison founded the Anglo-Chinese College at Malacca. This is the first bilingual college with both Chinese and Western students. Picture 37. Pastor Elijah Coleman Bridgman, on the upper left corner of this picture, is the first American Protestant missionary to arrive in China. He went to China in 1830, 23 years after Robert Morrison. Picture 38. Here are the missionaries that went to China after Morrison. They could not enter into China, so scattered around East South Asia, waiting for China to open up. Pastor William Milne was one of them. He was born in a farm and not well educated. When he applied to be a missionary, the committee turned him down. But Milne was determined. He said, if he was not qualified to being a missionary, he was willing to be a missionary servant. The committee finally accepted his application and sent him to China. Once arriving in China, he was sent by Morrison to Malacca to establish a missionary base. Milne spent only 7 years in Malacca, but did many important ministries. For example, he co-published the first Chinese magazine, Chinese Monthly Magazine. He assisted Morrison in Bible translation. He wrote Bible comments in Chinese. He served as pastor of Christ's Church in Malacca. He was also often on the road sharing gospel with local Chinese. In the short 7 years, he had done so much, which is quite impressive. Picture 39. On the upper right corner of the picture was Samuel Dyer, father-in-law of Hudson Taylor. He improved the technology for the printing of Chinese character. He was buried in Macau, next to Morrison. Picture 40. From here on, we enter into the second part of the exhibition, Missionary Work Post-Morrison. Picture 41. The China which missionaries faced. Couple of pictures here introduce the differences between China and the West at that time, including legal concept, human rights, and etc. Picture 45. China had vast land and the transportation system wasn't adequate. The journey from the West to China was also very long. It took Morrison 6 months to arrive in China, and it took Cousin Taylor 153 days. Picture 46. China, also called God's land, was reserved and backward then. Conflicts often erupted due to misunderstanding towards missionaries. Such conflicts were called religious cases or massacres. Picture 48. Here are some tall men on three gorges. Many missionaries to Sichuan encountered shipwreck and fell into Yangtze River here. Picture 50. For 100 years, China was in war, both internally and externally. Picture 53. Besides war, there were also famine, pestilence, bandits, and etc., which brought much danger to missionaries and made their ministry difficult. Picture 55. During Nanjing Massacre, some missionaries remained at refugee area to take care of Chinese people. Picture 56. Famous Olympic champion Eric Liddell was kept in concentration camp in Shandong. His story was made into a movie called Chariots of Fire. Picture 57. Pastor John Stan Couple of China Inland Mission was martyred in Anhui, China. Their infant girl was rescued miraculously. Picture 58. Pastor E. H. Hamilton wrote a poem called Afraid of What? Which brought much encouragement to co-workers. Picture 59. Hundreds of massacres took place all over China. Picture 60. Here are some flyers and leaflets which slandered the church. Picture 61. Many historical accounts of the massacres were published. From picture 62 onward, we see that many missionaries died in China for the gospel. The first Protestant missionary martyr in China was Walter Lowry. He was a Presbyterian, the son of an American congressman, and a graduate of Princeton University. He participated in the translation of Bible. Because of that work, he commuted between Shanghai and Ningbo. During one such trip in 1847, he was killed by bandits at the age of 28. The largest massacre, Gunzi event, which had most casualties, would take place in 1900. But first, we want to describe a massacre not shown on the pictures. This is the Kuchen Massacre, which took place in Gutian, Fujian, in 1895. This event can best represent how the relatives of the martyrs chose to forgive out of God's love. There were 11 adults and children killed in Kuchen Massacre. Among them, Pastor Robert Warren Stewart, his wife, and two children were all killed. Besides Pastor Stewart, all the rest of the 11 were women and children, which shocked the international community. Pastor Stewart had three more sons who were attending school in Britain at the time and escaped the tragedy. When they grew up, they also went to China and worked in education field, despite the fact that their parents and siblings were killed by Chinese. There was one son who became headmaster of a Christian school in Hong Kong. Another one who went to Sichuan and participated in student ministry there. In Chengdu, he met a local Sichuanese named Y.C. James Yan. Yan was educated at Christian school. He was greatly touched and influenced by the Stewart's testimony. Later on, Yan studied in the U.S. After returning to China, he became an educator and organizer known for his work in mass literacy and rural reconstruction. His contribution was recognized alongside the likes of Albert Einstein. Also during the Kuchen Massacre, two sisters from Australia were killed. When the news reached home, their mother, who was a widow, sold all she had and moved to Fuzhou, China. She served at missionary base there until her death a couple of years later. Her wish was to be buried with her daughters in China. All those follow-up developments of Kuchen Massacre were quite moving. Picture 62. 根字 event. A Boxer rebellion in 1900 caused approximately 200 missionaries and their children being killed, and countless Chinese Christians murdered. Picture 64. One of the martyrs was Horace Tracy Pitkin, a graduate from Yale University. As a result, Yale established its Chinese mission organization to continue the evangelism work in China. Picture 65. Shanxi Province was where most missionaries were killed. Its governor at the time was called Yu Xian. Picture 67 to 69 introduced the missionary team from Oberlin College in Ohio, USA. The team, including 5 men, 5 women, and 5 children, went to Shanxi. All 15 of them were killed. Picture 68. This is the monument on Oberlin College campus in memory of the martyred alumni. Picture 70. Among all missionary organizations, China Inland Mission counted most martyrs, with 79 in total, including 58 missionaries and 21 missionaries' children. Picture 71. Pastor Archibald Glover and his family of 4 escaped from Shanxi and journeyed for 60 days. His book, 1,000 Miles of Miracle in China, recorded that experience. Picture 73. When the Republic of China came to power, scientism was prevalent, and there erupted another wave of anti-Christian movement. Picture 75. Many political parties and schools of thought participated in the anti-Christian movement and published magazines. Picture 77. The persecution of the church was more severe during the Cultural Revolution. Picture 78. Since the economic reform and opening up, church's vitality was revived. From picture 79 on, we will introduce various missionary organizations to China. Some were attached to a denomination, such as Anglican Church. Some were non-denominational, such as China Inland Mission. Picture 80. Here we introduce the 6 largest denominations. First, Congregational. Picture 81. Anglican. Picture 82. Pastor William Castles, an Anglican, was one of the Cambridge 7. He orchestrated the building of a church in Langzhong, Sichuan, in 1914, which is still in use today and is called Langzhong Evangelical Church. Even though Langzhong is only a small city in Sichuan, it became an important place in mission history because 4 of the Cambridge 7 served there simultaneously. 2 of them, William Castles and Montagu Buchamp, died there. At first, Montagu Buchamp did evangelical tours across Sichuan province. Later on, he had to go back to Britain to inherit royal title. But his 2 sons, who studied medicine in Cambridge, went as medical missionaries to Langzhong, Sichuan. Even while Buchamp was in Britain, his heart was with China, and he often visited his sons and churches he founded in Langzhong. Eventually, he died during one of the visits and was buried in Langzhong, just like Castles. Picture 83. Lutheran. Picture 84. Baptist. Picture 86. This is a Baptist missionary sister called Lottie Moon. She died on Christmas of 1912. Until now, the Southern Baptist Church holds a tradition of contributing all its Christmas offerings to global mission, inspired by Lottie Moon. Picture 87, Presbyterian. Picture 88, Methodist. Picture 89. Here we see some Methodist pastors. First one is the father of three Song sisters. His name is Charles Song. Below him is the father of a famous preacher, John Sum. His name was Song Xuelian, also a Methodist pastor. Picture 90. Outside of the six largest denominations, the China Inland Mission was the most famous organization. CIM was founded by Hudson Taylor in 1865. They followed the principle of doing China as Chinese does, such that all missionaries who went to China will wear Chinese clothes. They also set up headquarters in Shanghai, not in England, so that they can coordinate and direct various ministries locally. This strategy was different from most other missionary organizations, which set their headquarters in home countries. When CIM first started, it was not highly regarded by many, until the Cambridge Seven joined the ministry and became missionaries to China in 1885. This caused quite a sensation in British society and church. CIM instantly became a famous name, and it gradually grew to be the largest missionary organization in China. Speaking of the Cambridge Seven, they dispersed to different provinces in China. We mentioned earlier, a couple of them were in Sichuan, including Castles and Bill Champ, who died there. One of the seven was Charles Studd, a British national cricketer. He was born into a wealthy family. He offered all his inheritance to church and other Christian organizations. After many years in China, he went to India to continue missionary work and later on Africa, where he died. So we could say he is a missionary who surrendered his all to the Lord. He is also the most famous among the Cambridge Seven. Picture 91. There were churches that did not rely on missionary organizations and were developed solely by Chinese Christians. Picture 93. Elder Yang Wu, who died in 2005, was healed by the Lord of his cancer when he was young. He then served the Lord faithfully his whole life, left behind a beautiful testimony. Picture 95. Wherever there's seaports, there's Chinese. Wherever there's Chinese, there's Chinese Christian Church. Picture 96 and 97 introduce Chinese Christian churches all over the world. Picture 99. After many trials, churches in mainland China are ready to become missionary. Picture 100. 101. Introduce churches in mainland China. Picture 102. Introduces some church organizations, such as the China Christian Continuation Committee, National Christian Council of China, and later on, Chinese Coordination Center of World Evangelism. They are all platform organizations that connect churches. Picture 104. Many missionary organizations entered into various fields to evangelize. Picture 105. From here on, we come to the third part of the exhibition, which introduces Christianity's contribution to and influence on the Chinese society. Picture 106. The relationship between Christianity and China's modernization. Simply put, Christianity acted as an intermediary. Picture 109. Modernization consists of three levels. The most basic level is the modernization of tools and skills. Picture 111. Many Qing Dynasty officials were in touch with Christianity and experienced the advantages of Western culture. Among them was Zheng Guofan. Some of his offspring became Christians. For example, Taiwan's Donghai University's founding principal, Zheng Yuenong, is Zheng Guofan's offspring. Picture 115. This is an important person who helped China's modernization on tools and skills level, Jiang Fryer. He was editor and translator in the Jiangnan Manufacturing Bureau, translating many Western scientific books to Chinese. Picture 116. In terms of medical care, Christianity was also an intermediate that introduced Western medicine to China. Picture 117. Pastor George Leslie Mackay, who was missionary to Taiwan, used to do missionary work through dentistry. According to himself, he extracted 20,000 teeth for the Taiwanese. Picture 119. Missionary families dedicated their lives to China generation after generation. The most famous example is the family of James Hudson Taylor, as well as the Broomhall family, who's connected to the Taylor family through marriage. Picture 120. Quaker, the Devo family, also served China for generations. Charles E. Devo served in China and Taiwan many years. Picture 121. Dr. James Laylaw served in Taiwan. His two sons were also medical missionaries and served in China and Taiwan. Picture 122 introduces the Guinness family, who's also connected through marriage to the Taylor family. Henry Guinness was of about the same time as Hudson Taylor. He and his wife both had burden for missions. As they were rich, they started a missionary school in London. Many missionaries to various parts of the world were trained in that school. Two of their own children came to China as missionaries, their eldest daughter and the youngest son. The daughter, Mary Geraldine Guinness, later married Frederick Howard Taylor, the second son of Hudson Taylor. She was an excellent author of many missionary biographies. Her books encouraged more people to enter the mission field. Her brother, Jashang Whitfield Guinness, was a medical missionary to China, who founded the first evangelical hospital in Kaifeng, Henan. His daughter, who died in China when she was only 8 years old, was subject of a book by her aunt Geraldine Taylor. The book is called Pearl's Secret. This book was translated into Chinese and touched many people. Here we also see Dr. A.J. Broomhall, part of the Broomhall missionary family. The Broomhalls was also connected through marriage to the Taylors. Hudson Taylor's sister married Benjamin Broomhall. Benjamin was famous in the British church circle for his organizational skills. He became Hudson Taylor's best supporter in Britain. Hudson Taylor shared gospel in China. Benjamin handled administration and logistic matters in Britain. 5 out of Benjamin Broomhall's 10 children participated in missionary work in China. The 3rd and 4th generations also went as missionaries to China. So we see, both Broomhall and Guinness family are representative missionary families. Picture 123. Dr. David Lansborough, who built Zhanghua Christian Hospital in Taiwan. His son and daughter-in-law were both doctors also. Picture 124. Another level of modernization is the modernization of regulatory system and of thinking. missionaries contributed much in this regard by starting newspapers and setting up schools. Picture 128. Missionary W.A.P. Martin was the faculty of School of Combined Learning and Chinese Imperial University. Both were set up by Chinese Qing government. Mr. Martin also translated international law into Chinese, a great contribution to China's modernization. Picture 129. Here is a picture of Hudson Taylor, Griffith John, W.A.P. Martin. All three of them were long-term missionary workers in China. Picture 131. Missionaries also encouraged Qing government to send students to the U.S. to learn Western culture. Zhang Tianyou, father of China's railways, was among those young students. Picture 132. Protestant Christians set up 13 universities in China, all of which were famous and good schools. For example, Tan Chong College, founded by missionary Calvin Wilson Matier, was later developed into the famous Qi Lu University. Picture 134. The campuses of Christian universities often had combined style of the East and the West. Here it shows the campus of Beijing University, which belonged to Yanjing University. Picture 135. There are also Christian universities in Hong Kong and Taiwan. Picture 136. The Luce Memorial Chapel at Tonghai University in Taiwan is a landmark. Mr. Henry Luce was a missionary to China. His son was an American magazine tycoon. Picture 137. The holistic care philosophy advocated by the church gradually gained attention in Chinese society. Picture 138. Many organizations titled Holistic Care were established. Picture 141. Here is a missionary with a background in animal agriculture who went to the mountain area in northern Tai to help and train the locals in animal feeding. Picture 142. Missionaries also built orphanages, set up schools for the blind. Missionaries were glad to help all disadvantaged groups. Picture 143. Here is a missionary sister, Gladys Elward, from Britain. She cared for orphans in Taiwan and Shanxi. A movie called The Inn of the Sixth Happiness was based on her story. While China was invaded by Japanese forces, Elward led over 100 orphans to safety across the Yellow River and over the mountains. Picture 145. Chinese women suffered under foot binding. Missionaries were the main force against this corrupt custom. There was a saying, a pair of bound feet, a bucket of tears. It's clear how much the Chinese women in the past suffered under foot binding. Picture 147 to 150. Missionaries actively advocated education for women, gender equality, and monogamy, thus raised women's status. Picture 151 to 153. Opium enslaved many in China. Missionaries came forward and became forerunners in anti-opium movement. Picture 154. Missionaries lobbied and propagated anti-opium and addiction treatment. Picture 156 and 157. Xi Shenmo, born in Shanxi, turned from a Chinese scholar to a pastor. Having been an opium addict himself and set free by the Lord, he ran a ministry to opium addicts in many locations. His addiction treatment centers were named Heaven Calling Centers. Picture 155. There was an evangelical institution called Operation Dawn that pushed anti-drug movement in many places. They even established Addiction Treatment Village in Golden Triangle, the headquarters of drug production. Picture 162-163. Missionaries also became the intermediate to promote East-West culture exchange. They wrote in English and other languages on Chinese culture, Chinese people's personality, and etc., to let the West know more about China. Picture 165. Missionaries respected local culture. They sought to be localized, self-governing, self-supporting, self-propagating. Picture 166. Upper left corner is a Chinese painting illustration of the classic book, The Pilgrim's Progress. In the illustration, the pilgrim had long ponytail, obviously a Chinese. Picture 167-169. The facilities at church also had a Chinese touch. For example, picture 167 shows a wall of a church, on which there were two doors. One had men on it, the other women, meaning men and women would enter through different gates. This was to comply with Chinese custom at the time. Picture 170-171. Here we see missionaries wore Chinese clothes to integrate into Chinese society. On the lower left-hand corner of picture 170 is the Cambridge Seven wearing Chinese clothes. Picture 172-174 introduces Hudson Taylor missionary family's history in China. If we count from James Hudson Taylor to James Hudson Taylor IV, there are five generations. But if we include Hudson Taylor's father-in-law, Samuel Dyer, there are six generations. Picture 176-181. Here, it quote, a touching poem by Brother Bian Yunbo in 1948. The title is To the Unknown Evangelist. Picture 182-184. Here are something written by Professor Lin Zhiping, the director of this exhibition ministry, for your reading. Please enjoy. Our historical journey has come to an end. Let us respond to the Lord Jesus' great commission. Bring the gospel to the end of the world, to all nations. We are glad you have finished this historical picture exhibition. When we look at these pictures, our hearts were touched, because we know many missionaries of the past 200 years created this moving history with their precious lives. In order to commemorate the 200th anniversary of Robert Morrison's arrival in China, Morrison Memorial Society of Cosmic Light Ministry undertook a series of studies and publishing work. We published a collection of books, 70 in all. 30 of them were essays from scholars of Greater China region on how the missionaries influenced and contributed to Chinese society. 20 of them were missionaries' testimony. 20 of them were picture stories of missionaries' lives, compiled for children and intended to be used in Sunday schools and children ministries. Thanks to God, this series of books is our response to and summary of the history. We pray that the books and this exhibition will draw more interest to church history. Thank you for visiting.